Good morning, church. Just want to say that today is a youth Sunday, and we are so thankful to have youth and young adults in our midst to serve the Lord as they are, as they were. And let us go to the Lord in prayer before we read God's word together. Father Lord, we are just so thankful for how your word continue to nurture and grow even the next generation. Lord, we pray as one church that will love your people more and more each day. Lord, speak to us through your living word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Do you know that Arabian horses go through tough, strict training in the desert of the Middle East? The trainers require absolute obedience from the horses. And to test if they are thoroughly well-trained, the final test goes something like this: to test them beyond their endurance level of any living thing. The trainers force the horses to go without water for many days, and when he turned them loose, and of course they as horses, as wild animals, they will rush to the water. And just as they get close and ready to plunge in and to drink, the trainer will blow his whistle. The horses who have been well-trained will stop. They turn around and pace back to the trainer. And they will be standing in front of the trainer, shivering and thirsty. But they wait in perfect obedience until the trainer has their full attention, their full obedience, their absolute obedience in that sense. He gave them the signal to drink. And for us, we will be thinking that why such strict training, so severe, so inhuman in some sense. But when you are on the trackless desert of Arabia, your life is entrusted to a horse. You better have a well-trained horse. And likewise for us as Christians, to accept God's training of listening to his word and his voice and obey him when he speaks. Likewise, in our recent BB camp on Monday to Wednesday, we train our boys to do day and night navigation. So we train them how to read the compass, how to read the grid map, how to plot, where to go, where is your true north, and how to see the compass, make sure you go to the right place. And because we know when they plot the wrong place or plot wrongly, they will surely haul on. And I follow a group for the night navigation, and guess what? We really haul on. My group saw a group went to a particular checkpoint, and then they say, that must be the checkpoint. So they went there, and then they told me, sir, is this the right place? I said, no. Then they turn around, is this the right place? I say, no. Then we keep on walking up and down the road, just a very short road, and then we turn to another corner. In total, about 10 minutes wasted. And then they still can tell me that, sir, are we on the right track? Then I told the leader, I said, actually, you haul on 10 minutes ago already. Then he said, why you never say anything? I said, this is to test whether you can read or not, right? So I told them that, let's go back to the first place, the first checkpoint that you told me is there or not. So we went back. Then I said, look at your map now. Read it again. Then they say, okay. Then they follow the map. And then they make a turn, which is just 50 meters away from where we originally were. And that was the exact spot that we are supposed to be there. So I told them that, actually, if you never blindly follow that other group, you have reached your destination many minutes ago already. And sometimes in life, we saw a shortcut. We follow, and we follow blindly. We follow and copy other people's success, or we follow other people's methods of going to so-called the right direction. Sometimes in our life, we do not just miss 10 minutes. We do not waste just 10 minutes. We could waste our lifetime away, if not careful. So with that, allow me to go through the text proper. So we are looking at Isaiah 55, talking about God's grace and His word. First point will be God's gracious invitation. There's three sub-points there, and then God's nurturing word as the second point of today's sermon. To the first point, next. The prophet Isaiah called on behalf of the Lord to everyone that can hear and listen. It's an invitation to the feast for all, especially for those who are thirsty, those who have no money. And one thing for sure is that those who are thirsty will come to the water. If they are not thirsty, you will never come to the water. And just like what is stated in John chapter 7, verse 37, it says that if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. If you are one of those who are thirsty, you accept the Lord's invitation. It is free. It is free of charge. And it is hard to believe in our current world and society, isn't it, that we can get things for free. In our today's agenda, even when people who are giving out free tissue packs, they also have a certain agenda, isn't it? They will lead you to a place where their insurance agent try to sell you something. They want you to listen to their agent to hear some of the package that they are selling. After all, that packet of tissue isn't free at all. But here we have, in Isaiah 55, the invitation is clear. Your money will not do any good in God's economy. You can only bring your trust and faith and receive what God has given to you. But the invitation, but the Lord didn't stop there with just water. The invitation includes wine and milk. And once again, it's free. The imagery of wine and milk symbolizes God's free offering of spiritual nourishment and refreshment. In short, water sustains us to keep us alive. Milk will strengthen us to make us strong. Wine will satisfy us to fill us with joy. And in verse 2, the Lord asks His people to reflect, why do you spend money for what cannot satisfy? Whatever man can provide, it can never satisfy us for all eternity. When God provides, you will surely satisfy. The providence of God is made accessible for those who listen carefully. It will take time, your attention, and your effort to listen carefully. And of course, there are some who are not willing to listen. What do you listen to in your Spotify or in YouTube? What do you watch? Who do you listen to? Is it the voice of God? Or is it the evil one? There are many things that are distracting us, preventing us from listening to God carefully. And in Isaiah, it says that listen, eat, delight, listen carefully, eat what is good, delight yourself in abundance. All this require wisdom to choose what you are listening to, looking at what you are eating, and what are you delighting in. In the Bible, Dr. Luke, not the PA guy, not our slides guy, not that Dr. Luke, the Dr. Luke in Luke chapter 14, he says that, and he says to the people who have invited him, when you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or brothers or relatives or rich neighbors, lest they will also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will repay at the resurrection of the just. And this is why we have our Haven Ministry, to minister to the rough sleepers around our area. You can sign up as a youth, jio your parents to come. Or you as a parent, you can invite your kids to come to take a look at this gospel ministry. Or perhaps you can sign up as a cell group. This could be a great learning opportunity for your cell group if you have not been to one. Sometimes this kind of ministry, we often think that we are the one giving, isn't it? But sometimes the Lord is actually working in our hearts, doing a heart transformation, doing a heart operation for us so that we can see the people who are in need in our society. Sometimes the best things in life is free, just like the gospel, and our salvation in Christ is free, but it costs Christ everything. When we freely receive from the Lord, then we are able to be good stewards, to give to the Lord and His people. Once you are graciously invited to the feast, now you are led intentionally by the Lord. The invitation is clear to all of us, not just for the people of Israel in the Old Testament context, but also for all of us who are living in the 21st century. Incline your ear and come to me. That's what the prophet says. Hear that your soul may live. The Lord invites us to come to listen to Him, which indirectly the Lord is saying to the people of Israel, listen carefully to my voice through my word, through my living word. Just like the sheep listens to the shepherd's voice, his master's voice, likewise, for us as God's people, we have to learn to listen and to listen to His voice alone. And in the gospel, there is a passage that touches on our hearts, the conditions of our hearts, whether our hearts are good soil to take in God's word. So the question for us is, how is your heart today? Is it on a good soil that God has planted and rooted and grow into a tree? It is essential to know the condition of our heart, because I do not know your heart. Only God knows your heart. And you yourself know your heart. It is essential to know what is preventing us from listening to God's voice as well. The world that we are living in is bombarding us with a lot of voices, a lot of distraction, and pulling us away from His voice. And how are we distracted from God's voice, you may ask? What are the things that in our lives preventing us from listening to His voice alone? Or our hearts has already turned away from Him and hardened our hearts and not hear His voice? We need to examine our hearts. We need to confess our sins that are distracting us and derailing us from obeying and following our Lord Jesus Christ. And once we have listened, when we obey God and His word, we realize that we are led by God. And then your life will slowly change. All our lives will be centered on God and His word. We will not look to the world and the culture to teach us how to live our life. Instead, we will be like the psalmist who wrote in Psalms 119:105, it says that your word is like a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. So God's word will be the guiding principle for all our life. The word of God should lead our lives, direct our family, guide our ministry, and influence our workplace culture as well. It should be front and center. It should not be behind us. It should not be hidden away from others. But it should be front and center. It's only then we can influence the world that we are living. It's then we can impact the world that we are living in. And when the word of God is leading us, it can be shown in every aspect of our life. And when the Lord has invited you to a great feast, when He has led you intentionally, you know for sure the Lord has already forgiven you. The Lord is near to those who are humble and brokenhearted. The greatest need of any human being in this world is love and forgiveness. You don't believe me? You ask many people who are doing counseling. The number one issue is that they don't find love at home. They don't find love anywhere. That's why they find love at the wrong places. And likewise in forgiveness as well. If they are not forgiven at home, they will continue to go and damage other people as well. And it starts from the home. And this is the greatest need of all. The prophet Isaiah is telling us that the Lord is near. The Lord is compassionate and kind and will forgive our sins when we turn to the Lord. In verse 6 to 7, in just two verses, there's a few active words. Seek, call, forsake, and return. All these are words with actions, words that have a change of heart. It's not a 360 change. If not, you are back to square one. But it's a 180 change, a turning away from your wicked ways to the Lord. You repent, you return, and you reconcile back to God. And in God's grace and mercy, He invites us to come back to Him. And make no mistakes about it. God will change our hearts. And using the words of Ezekiel, God has replaced our heart of stone with a heart of flesh and poured His Spirit into our lives. And how does forgiveness and reconciliation looks like? All we need is to take a look at the cross. The ultimate love is being shown there. And that is how we can love God back in that sense. God's justice and wrath were satisfied once for all. The cross of Christ with the shedding of the blood of His blood totally cancel all our sins once and for all. Your past, your present, and your future sins are all wiped off through the blood of Christ so that we can come and follow Him wholeheartedly. And now we have seen the God's gracious invitation to the feast. We can look at God's nurturing word. Next. So God's nurturing word in verse 8 to 13. And in that sense, I will talk about three important points: God's infinite wisdom, God's purposeful word, and God's promised life. Next. The prophet Isaiah reminds us that there's a great difference between God and man. The idea is just like heaven and earth. That is the great difference between God and man. No one can ever know the mind of God. No one can fully understand and comprehend the depth of God's mind and wisdom. You may say that it's impossible to know the mind of God, isn't it? And how many of us say yes? All of you? Only one, Aaron, don't know whether he's scratching his head or not. Definitely it's very difficult to know the mind of God, right? Can I ask of you, do you know the mind of the ladies beside you? If you're a husband, do you know your wife's mind? It's also impossible, right, sometimes. Sometimes we as men, we just don't get it. But sometimes when you try to talk and we try to learn from them and we try to appreciate where they are coming from, especially their perspective, hopefully and thankfully and by the grace of God, we are able to understand them a bit more and more, isn't it? But yet, we can never fully understand. If we couldn't fully understand the mind of our ladies in our midst, then it will be impossible to know the mind of God, right? To know His thoughts, His will, His intentions, His ways. We could never figure out the plans of God. God doesn't work the way we think. He doesn't act the way we do. He does things His own way in that sense. And his ways are often not our ways at all. And of course, the great distance between God and man is as great as the heavens are higher than the earth. Although there is a great difference and great distance between God and man, but it should not prevent us from seeking his will, seeking his wisdom, seeking his ways. Instead, it should simply put us in our place before God. We are not God, we are human, we are created in his image. And I like what Charles Spurgeon, a pastor and a theologian, once said. He said that you may conclude that it is not intended that you should understand the infinite, for you are told that his ways and his thoughts and ways are far above you, but you are required to seek him while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. And I guess that is our attitude when we think about God. We may not know him fully, but it does not stop us, and it should help us to continue to pursue him all the days of our life. And Isaiah 55 talks about the word of God is like the rain and the snow. Both came to water the earth, cause it to grow, and bring it life. And now God is saying through the prophet Isaiah that his word does not return to him empty. Instead, it will accomplish everything that God desires of his word to bring forth. Have you ever wondered, when we preach the living word of God, when we teach wisdom, when we impart knowledge, when we share truth in our conversation, all are not lost? Sometimes you will be thinking that, wow, I talk to this person, talk until my lao ba sai, I cry, but the person still cannot listen. Is everything lost? Actually, not really. Instead, it will be planted, it will take root, it will be nurtured by the Spirit of God to cause it to grow. And in the words of Paul, he says that I planted the seed, Apollo waters it, but God caused it to grow. Likewise, parents, when we are talking to our teenagers, kids, be patient. You will never know when the word of God take root in their life and help them to cause a life transformation. And sometimes in our ministry, sometimes we wonder when we speak, does anybody listen at all? When we talk about the gospel and the finished work of Christ, we wonder, is there anyone responding to the Lord? But rest assured, in the faithfulness of God, he will use his word to nurture his people. His word will be a lamp unto their feet. His word will bring clarity to the doubtful. His word will comfort the weak. His word will challenge the strong. His word will cut the hearts of men in regards to their sin and righteousness. His word will inspire a new way of living for the glory of God. And lastly, his word will offer wisdom and peace to those who are struggling. And what is required of us as believers of Christ, as followers of our Lord Jesus Christ, is to faithfully preach and teach the word of God. We do our part and God will do the rest. And in your ministry, have you seen the word of God taking root in the hearts of men? Have you seen your people grow in wisdom and knowledge of God? In your family, when you have family devotion, have you seen your son or daughter maturing, loving God more and more each and every day? But the real question is, has the word of God mastered us? Or maybe I flip it the other way around. All of us in ministry has one aim, right? Which is to master the word of God. But if I can, I flip it another way. Has the word of God mastered us? That's a slightly different way of thinking. Is our life centered and guided by the word of God, so much so that every decision that we make is pleasing and honoring to God? Now to my last point. When God in his grace invites us to the feast, He led us intentionally, forgiven us, and spoke to us through His living word. And God's word will do His work in His people. As a result of it, joy and peace are always the result, as stated in Isaiah 55. Isaiah painted for us a beautiful picture of God's glorious work of restoration when God is at the center. When God is in control, everything is flowing according to His will and His ways. God is like the gardener that is mentioned in John chapter 15. He prunes whatever is not growing. Whatever has turned bad, He prunes. He cut off. He burn off. He throw it away. So that we can bear fruits, and fruits that will last for all eternity. And when God restores, all the work is done in His name and for His glory. When the Lord restores, the work is secure. It's an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. And last, how many of us have watched this movie before? It's one of the best movies I watched that year. Not all, but that year. Recently in the movie, there's this show called The Top Gun, Maverick. It portrayed a master trainer who was sent to a training camp, which is to train fighter pilots for a dangerous mission. And in this mission, they are supposed to train very hard, putting many hours and many sweat, and putting their lives on the line. And any small mistake can take the whole team out, especially when they cannot handle the G-force. When they cannot handle the G-force, they cannot think right. They cannot be clear-minded. They cannot operate the plane. So in order to handle the G-force well, you must be clear-minded so that you can keep on flying and you can finish the mission. They are supposed to think fast and think on their feet. Whenever they are in high stress or in very dangerous situation, they must act so fast, so sharp, and so clear that they know that they are on the right track. And likewise for us, a lot of us in PSPC, we have a training program as well. Do you know that? If not, why do you go for a Bible study? If not, why do you go for cell group? If not, why do you go for biblical courses or talks? Or why do you come for internships? The motivation is not just to master the Word of God, isn't it? But we need to ask the question is, has the Word of God mastered our life? Because if the Word of God has never mastered our life, then we are reading the Word of God like an English paper, an English literature subject book. That's about it. But when the Word of God has mastered our life, it changes everything that we see. It changes the news that we read each and every day. It changes how we read WhatsApp even. When we look at the poor in our midst, do we respond or do we just walk past? The Word of God, when master our life, it changed totally. Not just in your family, not just in your workplace, but more essentially in your heart, that you are coming back to the heart of worship. You are coming back to the Lord so that you can serve Him all the days of your life. And whenever we face challenges and struggles, the Word of God comforts us with biblical truth that we are His and His alone. Whenever we are in need of wisdom in our transitions, especially the young ones or those who are facing retrenchment, we need wisdom. May the Word of God guide us with His ever-assuring peace that whatever godly decision that we make, He will be there for us. Especially when we lost our way, the Word of God may lead us home with His presence. May His still small voice be our guide in the midst of many distractions. to rule in our hearts and in our mind. So in all things, we are able to do everything that is honoring, glorifying, and pleasing to His holy name, so that we can live our life radically and dangerously for His glory and for His name's sake. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, speak to us. We know we have drifted away from You and from Your word. Bring us back so that we are Yours and Yours alone. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.